Awesome, cool. So I'm going to hand over the mic in a second here to Margarita. She's going to introduce our two guests here, but I just wanted to quickly say more of an experiential introduction, which means I've only known these guys for like 2 days. Personally, I've been on a Zoom session, remotely because they live in Kentucky, and it's just very inconvenient to drive down there. but you know, so I've had the opportunity to sit in, if you will, ask a few questions, make a few statements, and get to know these guys. And so then they came, and I knew they were going to be ministering to people, right? Because when we just made the announcement, hey, we're going to be doing this, and there's so much freedom involved, let us know if you're interested. We had 19 people run through yesterday, okay? I mean, it was amazing. And yeah, and I felt like the Lord was telling me I needed to go through it first. I kid you not, you know, and I asked for confirmation, and he gave me two. The same thing, 2 days in a row, two different sources. Like, I was stuck. And you know, it was cool. It's my joy to be able to obey, right? And so I just have to say, I don't want to go into the gory details, but the Lord just, you know, he just sets us free of stuff that we don't know, right? Because, you know, the experience of when you have food on your face and you don't realize it, and then somebody's kind enough to say, hey, right? And you're like, oh, thank you. I was so, I didn't know, right? That's what it was like, just stuff. And freedom on the other side is wonderful. So, and we had six people, and I want to honor them, if that's okay, six people who gathered together and for almost 30 hours ministered to the body of Christ, shotgun style, one after another. And when you do the multiplication on that, let's just be conservative and say 20 hours times six people, 120 hours. That's 3 weeks of work got done in 2 days. Multiplication was awesome, and I am so grateful. So Marguerite, Alex, Miss Peggy, yeah, we're going to meet Gary and Chris over here. You guys, thank you so much, really. And my wife, who ran around and supported as she could. So thank you. Yeah. In 2 days was 3 weeks. So, yeah. So come on up and please and get us kicked off. Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. I don't know about you guys. Do you guys feel it? There's something here, isn't there? God is just amazing. He really is. So I'd say it's probably been 3 years now the Lord put on my heart. I had went through a lot about 6 years ago. I really needed the healing. I needed some major healing from my dad. Most of you don't know, I have two exes who kind of just fell in line with my dad. Abandonment, abuse, you name it. So yes, I had a lot of trauma, and I had a lot I was trying to control and take care of. But when God came in and he showed me, you don't need to hold on to this. I'm here. I got you. And he just freed me from all of that. And he goes to 3 years ago, you need to study up on this and you need to get deep into it because I'm going to make this a ministry for you, for others. You're going to share your story and you're going to help others get released. So I started researching. And for 2 years, kept searching. And this last year, my sister, I'm originally from Kentucky, Lexington, where my friends here are from. And I have a sister, a family that knows Chris. And she and I were talking, and I was telling her what the Lord's put in my heart. And she goes, well, funny enough, that's what I'm going through too. So wouldn't you know it, here we have two sisters that are 8 years apart going through the same thing. And so we've been there to help each other. And so she introduced me to Chris. And he has a Thursday night Zoom of inner healing and deliverance ministry of training. And so after I have gone through some training of two other groups, I decided to join in on Thursday nights when I could and just get some more poured on me. And really got a real relationship going through Zoom. And this last June, the Lord opened it up for my kids and I during shutdown to fly down to Kentucky to be with my family. And in that time, I told Chris, I want to set up and I want to have a deliverance with you. Even though I've gone through it and I felt the Lord had taken care of everything, he just kept saying, yeah, you need to go in and get this on deliverance. You need to get delivered. And you need to know what it really, what it's like and experience it. So I don't know if you guys remember, but like a few weeks or a week after I came back or when we came back into session, I was up there and I kind of explained to you a little bit how I thought I had nothing and everything was already taken care of. Until that time I went in and got my deliverance and the things that came out, I was like, wow, where'd that come from? And so I was kind of sharing my testimony of that. I just want to thank everyone who signed up and came in and those who did come in. And a lot of them came in like a deer in the headlights. What have I done? What did I sign up for? I barely made it here. Don't know what I'm doing here. What are you going to do to me? What's going to happen? And we just prayed over each and every one of them for the Holy Spirit just to take away the anxiety, the fear, and that God is not going to do anything to you that's going to harm you. If anything, you've already been harmed, right? And so he's going to deliver you from all that. So all this is good. The hardest part was you getting in your car and coming here this morning. That was a very hard part. And then the next part was, yes, sharing. But you know what? At the end, it's like they say, what is that? The hurts in the evening, but the joy comes in the morning. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. And that's what he does. That's what he does. So after sitting in on these classes on Thursday nights, kind of got a bug in my ear that we need to do a deliverance, inner healing deliverance here. There's people here who are ready for this. So to kind of backtrack, a year ago, I approached Daryl and said, this is what the Lord's put on my heart. And he's like, that's amazing. I've been waiting for somebody to step in because this has been on me forever. And he didn't feel that this was for him and his ministry, but he was backing it up. And I said, well, whoa, he wanted to put me out there. And I was like, no, God's doing this organically. I don't want to be flashing on any screen saying this is her ministry, this is what she's doing. I wanted this to be organically. And do you know it? We just kept praying into it, and the Lord just kept trickling in little bit by little by little, getting me better and better at it. My first one, I had thought I'd studied for 3 years, sat down. First words out of this person's mouth, I was like, oh boy. All right, hold on 1 second. Hold on, well, just 1 second. Can we just take a break? I ran upstairs, went to my bathroom, closed the door, and I'm like, Oh, I'm not ready for this. What do you think you're doing? You think I'm ready for this? What were you thinking? I'm not ready for this. Oh my goodness, this is not what I studied. This is not what I prepared for. Oh, Holy Spirit, you better come right now because I'm in trouble. I am in trouble. And that's only because I was doing this on my own, right? In that moment, I was like, oh, I don't have the words. What do I say? What do I do? I'm going to hurt this person. I'm not helping them. And I went back downstairs and I just had that peace. And as soon as I opened my mouth, the Holy Spirit just poured out. He poured out, and she was healed. She was healed from so much trauma in her past. And at the end of that day, I was just like on a high, like a hymn this weekend. I'm just walking on a Holy Spirit high, just amazed at what he does. That he used little old me as a vessel. He spoke through me. And he could do that for each and every one of you. He has a plan for every one of you. He has a gift for every one of you. So upon this, expressing to Daryl what I wanted to do, and all these little ones were trickling in and started doing this, and all of a sudden a flood came in, and I'm like, wow, what are we going to do now? It's only me. And my wonderful guy back here, Alex, behind the booth, said, I'm going to come alongside you. I'm here with you. I think this is ministry the Lord is bringing together, and I'm going to join you, and we're going to do this together. Yes. It is worth a clap, especially if you know where he comes from. This is a long stretch for him. He didn't know what he was getting into when he hooked up with me. And then I reached out to Chris and I said, you know, I'd really like to bring this. And after speaking to Daryl, we were going to do this in December, if most of you probably remember, and that wasn't the timing. It wasn't right. This was the weekend he was looking for. Because if we'd done it back then, we probably wouldn't have had as many people. God knew that this was the weekend to do this. He ordained it all. Ordained it all. We had more than 19 people sign up. We have, I think, 7 at this point on a list, a waiting list. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Amazing. And there's going to be more, because the people that got delivered are going to go home, they're talking to their friends and their friends and their friends, and other people are going to want this. So we need to build this ministry. So that's what we're looking for, right? To build this ministry. So Chris and Gary have been just awesome. Just awesome. I didn't meet Gary until today, this Friday, but I'd seen him on Zoom. We knew each other through Zoom pictures and talking. And I'm just so humbled that they had taken their weekend of their busy lives to come out here and to share this experience and just pour out on our people with us. So I'm not going to give their history. They're going to give their testimonies. And I'm just going to invite them up right now to come in and just share with you. Come on up, Chris and Gary. We're gonna do Gary first. Awesome. Awesome. Are you mic'd up?
Nope.
You can use this one.
Yeah. All right. So, thank you. Well, I'm not a pulpit kind of person, so bear with me.
You are now.
Yeah, I'm now. And if you see the wad in my pocket, that's from all the Kleenexes. If you can come to church and cry before you even get started, the Holy Spirit is here. I want to say that. And when you have a pastor that cries, you're probably in a good place. Amen. I visit churches all over the world. I travel abroad a lot, not to speak. I'm an adrenaline junkie, and I just like to go do crazy things. But the Lord has shifted my crazy things into doing more things for Him. But when you do inner healing and deliverance, it can get crazy. And so I just wanted to say thank you, Daryl, Marguerite, Alex, for allowing me to be here. And, you know, I'm having a hard time keeping it together myself right now just because the presence of God is here. And so anyway, I'm going to jump right in and tell just a little bit of my history. I guess back in 1977, I had moved to Florida, got out of the Navy, and I'm one of these people. I grew up south of Chicago, been in Kentucky for 40 years, so that's my home now. But I was what you'd consider, I guess, a redneck tough guy. You know, if you're going to get in a fight, pick the biggest guy, because if you get whipped, no big deal. And so when I moved to Florida, I was going to school down there, going to college, and started taking karate under Mike Green. I don't know, some of you may have heard of him if you've done much of karate. I'm not here promoting karate because a lot of it is occultic. And did not realize that Mike was known as a legend of Florida, one of the best fighters in the world. So he taught me real quick. He could hit me anywhere, anytime he wanted. Nothing I could do about it. But we became friends, but he was witnessing to me. So he had karate for Christ. And so out of respect to the man that could make me fear him, I started going to his Monday night Bible study, ended up getting saved, and shortly after that, ended up going to Asbury College in Wilmore. New Christian, didn't know a whole lot. And that was in 1978, and I'd been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Some people may or may not, that's irrelevant at this point. But so I'm going to Asbury College, and I see that the seminary across the street is Methodist, and I'd already been kicked out of a Baptist church because I believed some things they didn't. And so I asked my professor one day at the college, I don't know why God sent me to a Christian college like this. And he goes, well, we're non-denominational. I go, really? Didn't know that. So anyway, I was going to school and walking across campus one night about 1 a.m, snow on the ground, temperatures like you got up here. We don't have a lot in Kentucky. It gets cold. And when a school van comes flying through, and a friend of mine, Neil, rolls the window down, Gary, come help me. I got a guy here Satan's trying to kill. I'm like, what? And sure, you know, I'm not smart enough to be afraid of anything, so went with him. We go up to the dorm room, get on the fourth floor. Three other of our friends were there, put him in there, and we start praying over this guy. Now, I'm new Christian, you know, I don't even know much about the Bible. But I know a few scriptures, and those guys, you know, they were raised Christians, so they knew some of the verses. So this guy that Satan was literally trying to take started convulsing. And so we're praying over him. And some of the lessons, excuse me, that I learned right out of the gate is that you have the power over Satan. I mean, no matter what. So, but you're not physically strong enough. There's not a, if this whole congregation put one muscle together, you cannot control one little bitty demon. He is still stronger than you physically. And so we're holding this guy down that had got saved 2 days earlier. He had been in a gay lifestyle for over 20 years. And we're sitting there, you know, trying to hold him down, praying, trying to cast demons out of him. And again, like I said, with no training, you know. And but I noticed that when he'd grab up, you know, could not control him by going, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, his hand would go and turn sideways, and then it would just rub on me. So I learned real quick, got some power here, you know, starting to exercise, on-the-job training right there. And so every time a demon would leave this guy, and this kind of stuff doesn't really happen with the way Marguerite and what we do here, this is totally different. This is more of a radical, and this is more some people don't know what they're doing. And but every time a demon would leave, it got 15 to 20 degrees warmer in that room. So we had the window up on the dorm. And so we're probably an hour, hour and a half into praying, you know, not knowing what we're doing other than we think we're getting somewhere. And all of a sudden we hear a bam, bam, bam on the door, and I'm standing over there with the other guys. One guy opens the door. It's a security guard from the campus. He looks, you guys, if that man dies, you guys are going to prison. And he walked away. Next morning, we're all in the dorm, or I mean in the dean's office, and he, I'll never forget, he says, we don't do that kind of stuff here, and if you ever do it again, you won't be going to school here. So, okay. Bowed to that and didn't really do a whole lot more of it there. Not didn't do any more of it there at that time because I was still trying to figure out what I just got involved in. And I got to know a professor there, Dr. Neff. You guys can probably look him up. He was a professor of Old Testament, great man, went to the behind the Iron Curtain, smuggled Bibles all the way back to the 60s, 70s, 80s. And he had a Friday night church, but I was going to some marriage counseling with him. And he said, Gary, I think you need deliverance. I said, I'm a Christian. What do you mean? And we talked. So anyway, I ended up saying, okay. And so he takes me to a gas station. And when he says, now you can't tell anybody we're doing this. You got to keep this quiet. Can't tell anybody in town, none of your friends, you know. And so we go into this gas station, into this room where I thought they stored oil. And there's a kind of like a table in there you can lay on. And they laid me down. It's kind of dark in there. And Bob and Bob Neff, Bob Bellman, and three other guys were walking around praying over me and stuff. And I don't remember a lot about that other than I was delivered of some things, you know, like some of my anger and stuff like that. And I was set free of some demons then. And so over the period of the next probably, I'd say 35 years, you know, I dabble a little bit in deliverance and started studying it, and then came under a mentor in Radcliffe, Kentucky, Larry Coker, that goes to India for a month about every June, give or take a week. And, you know, and I'm Mr. Arrogant, you know, yeah, I've done deliverance. You know, can I go? He goes, but you can only go under one rule. What do you mean? It's a 2-week course where they do deliverance totally different there. And what they do, he has a 300-page manual that he has written, has not been published, it's free. I can give it to you online, stuff like that, because he don't want any money for it. But he said, you have to be a student the first time. Well, you know, here goes my arrogant. What do you mean I got to be a student? I want to go there and help you. He says, no, rules are, if you want to be on the team, you sit through the first class. So I went over there, and for about 120 to 30 hours, 10 days, 7 to 7 or 8 at night, sit through a class and did 7 deliverances. But what they do, they start peeling the onion. And so what we did over there, basically, in 2 weeks, 120 hours, we've all kind of, the ministry that we did over here this weekend that Marguerite's been working with is a lot quicker, but it's one-on-one. Over there, there's like 20 to 25 of us ministers, over 80 to 150 people. And, you know, they have spit buckets and stuff, and we, you know, we go around praying over people, and people start coughing up demons, going through the deliverance, you know, you're asking forgiveness. So it's a lot of the same thing, but I call it a lot rougher style. And so when I went through it the first time, I have never been the same. I don't know how many demons was cast out of me, you know, 50, hundreds, I don't know. But I felt lighter, I could think clear, I breathed better, I quit hating people. I got hard to make mad, you know? It's like, that's not me. And so over a period of time, you know, I went back the next year and it's like, good, I get to be one of the ministers now, you know, I can go around and help everybody else instead of being sitting there. And it's hard to believe, but Indians quit their job, take off work, take vacation, and will spend that 2 weeks to go through that class because of the word of mouth of other people have been through it. Larry started this in 95 in India. And so I went during the years of 2015 was whenever I was a student, went back 2016, 2018. And during the first, the second, third time I went back as ministers, there's still, there's a rule that's unwritten that you do live by, and that is if you're a minister and all of a sudden something starts welling up in you, you sit down, get your manual, and you go through that deliverance or that teaching at the time because there's still something there. So anything, no matter what anybody tells you, you can get set free. But if you believe in deliverance and you go through deliverance, you'll be going through it for the rest of your life. That's just, you know, because people, Satan is always knocking. He's here to kill, steal, and destroy. So that means if you're alive and believing in the fleshly body, he's looking for a door. And so I've been, you know, been over there 4 times. I think, well, I've got this down pretty good. The last trip I went over in 2019, I was all pumped, excited, you know, going over to be a minister and feeling good. And I don't say that with pride or arrogance, maybe a little cockiness because I'm an adrenaline junkie, but I really have no pride, seriously. And so 2.5 hours into the first class, let me give you a little background on Larry, then my mentor there. You don't get up and walk out and go to the bathroom. You know, if there's anybody who gets chastised, I'm the one always getting it by Larry because he just likes to pick on me, I guess. And so anyway, about 2 hours into the, is it still working? Okay, about 2 hours into the class, all of a sudden my stomach started hurting and I felt like I had to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, I'm not getting up. Man, he's got a break, you know? And when he broke, I rudely ran, and in India also, women sat on one side, men on the other. I cut in front of every woman, I was out the door. And on my way out the door, heading down the steps, my roommate, David, I said, David, pray over me. I'm under demonic attack. I wasn't sick. I was under demonic attack. I knew it. Everybody thought I was sick from the food. And I wasn't. I loved their food. And so over the next 4.5 days, I was under a demonic attack of different things. And I had one open vision that I will share with you. That happened that I wrote then. And so during this 4.5 days, you know, I was up and down 24/7. I would go to sleep in the middle of the day and wake up. Well, I had an open vision where Satan attacked me, and the setting was actually in the classroom setting of where they were at. And there's a cobra. India has cobras, they're protected. You run over a cobra, you tear down a cobra, you know, they just like their anthills, if you tear one of them down, you go to prison, because that's where the cobras make their home. Well, there was a cobra in this open vision, and I was laying on a table trying to get away from him, and I mean, I was petrified. Mr. Not Afraid of Anything. That dream, open vision, I was petrified because he was hissing and popping up trying to get at me. And as I was trying to get away from him, all of a sudden I felt a hard pain right in my kidney. And, you know, and I couldn't tell if he bit me or not. And then one of the other ministers in this open vision that was there, Jay Seelan, I never forget, I finally, you know, he was there. Somebody grabbed the cobra, killed it, and everything. And so I went up and said, Jay Seelan, I said, do you think he bit me? He goes, yeah, most likely he did. You need to go down to this other room over here and drink some of the stuff that's like milk. And so in this open vision, I went down and drank the milk. And he said, now in about 20 minutes, you're going to get sick, and you're going to be deathly sick for about 48 hours. Don't really remember much about the being sick, but the thing that will blow my mind that I want you to remember how real Satan is, if you know much about kidneys and being a fighter, if you get a bruised kidney, you can pass urine, run into a wall, smash a kidney, you know, you're going to pass urine, be pure red. 24 hours later, I actually urinated straight pee blood. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And my kidney was sore. And so that demon in that open vision actually hit my kidney somehow and caused me to do that. And then I had David pray over me over that because, you know, during the open vision, he came and knocked on the door, and he, I was set free before the blood came. And so, you know, I got to feeling better, went back to being a minister, finished out the last 5.5 days of that class. But still, like I said, the next day when I was feeling okay, I went to the bathroom, I was like, wow. But see, I learned from that. Being here this weekend, I learned from some of you that we never can put God in a box. You can't put Satan in a box either. You can whip him, you can send him to the pit of hell. Don't put him in a box because he'll figure a way to get out of that box. The only place to put Satan's in a pit of hell. And so I just want to, that's a little bit of my testimony. I could go on for days for some of the stuff that I've done. But, you know, we have limited time. And I just wanted to say, you know, if you have any questions afterwards, anybody ever wants my phone number, I'm an open book. You can get it from Daryl, Marguerite, Alex, anybody. You know, I love to talk to people. I love to travel. You know, I don't ask for money. I don't, you know, God told me when I sold my business, I had a, well, here's another little testimony. Me and Chris were competitors. I sold my business 20 years ago. He still has his, but I started mine about 10 years before him. So here we are going head to head. You know, I was the big shot as he was coming in, and he has grown one heck of a wonderful business, much bigger than mine was. And I had a pretty good business then. But anyway, so now here we are starting to travel together for God. We never had a harsh word when we were competitors. We were always politically polite, and we honored one another because we both loved Jesus. We didn't really understand what we're doing now. We do know what we're doing now. And we plan on doing this and building this ministry and just being blessed. Blessings to other people as God wants us to be. So, and also, out of all my years, you look at the number of people here, and again, I've been in churches all over the world, all kinds of deliverances. God's placed me with many ministers that are really cool, but to have a pastor that wants the ministry to start with him, God told him, I believe, that if you're going to bring something into your house that's new, you need to eat it first. And when I heard he was going to be the first one, I probably cried more than I did here all morning. Because he loves you people. He's not going to give you any food that he doesn't digest that knows good. He's, you know, he is the head of this house, and he is a blessing. I look forward to building relationship with him inside the body of Christ and just watch you guys grow. I encourage anybody, no matter how easy life is or how hard it is, you will be different if you go through, you know, deliverance of inner healing and ministry. And I'd like to just kind of close with a scripture. tell you about my pink glasses, you know, being Mr. Macho Man. Men generally will not steal pink glasses another man is wearing. So when I leave them in a restaurant or I leave them somewhere, they're usually there or I can go back and get them. So that's why I do my readers. So anyway, I just wanted to just give you like John 8:31-32. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believe on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is the will and wish of the Heavenly Father to set us free and to use us to set other people free in Christ Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit by using the truth. That's the key thing. And it is a call on ministry given by God to us that we are freed and we lead others into freedom. You get so many Christians that want to tell you, yeah, I'm saved. So have you been witnessing? No, that's for other people. You know, God give me this job. I'm supposed to do this. No. It's right there in the scripture in John. You know, the focus on inner healing and deliverance. The scripture also says that there are two men in us when you get saved. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but even though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So think about that. When you get saved, the Spirit of God is in you. So this physical body that I have worked out probably more than anybody in here all my life, it's not about my body. I still work out, but it's not my focus. And the inward man is what I need to work out every day. I need to get into the scripture, and I need to learn, and I learn. And I learned a little trick with Siri on my phone that I like to tell people about, because it's amazing how many of these Bible scholars and people, you know, quote scripture, and, you know, they get their Strong's out and all this and that. I just say, hey, Siri, what does behold mean? I thought I knew the meaning. You know, and a lot of words you think you know the meaning. If you got an iPhone or a media phone or whatever you call them, just ask, bring it up, and you'd be surprised that your two-hour Bible study, you can turn into 20 minutes because you're not flipping pages trying to find a meaning of a word. Because Siri will tell you the meaning, and then I screenshot it, so words that I thought I knew the meaning to. If you go through my photos, I've probably got 300 or 400 screenshots over the last 2 years just of little words that I take for granted when I read my, I'm a New King James man, and I cross-reference some. But to learn the meanings that we take for granted, you know, I used to love the King James, but it's just too hard for me. I'm not going to take all the time to try to figure that out. Well, I should, but I don't. But Siri is a real aid, so. But anyway, I just want to thank you for having us here. Thank you for allowing me to get up here and speak. Love all of you. And look forward to seeing you again. So.
I'm a little wiggly, so I might want to move the podium forward a little bit. Well, my name is Chris Trower, and I appreciate coming here to River of Life. You've got some really good saints here, man, that understand the kingdom. And you guys, I just think the world, I know a ton of pastors. I know a ton of pastors that are have a ton of problems. And Daryl here really understands the heart of God. He loves people like Christ loves the church. So you guys have somebody here that really, really, really loves you guys. And I know that God's going to continue to bless you, brother, that the numbers grow and that the people and that people grow deep in Jesus, that their roots grow down deep. So we just command that in Jesus' name. Right. So, I'm a contractor by trade and then Christian and deliverance minister by heart. And I think, and Gary keeps telling me that God's calling me to full-time ministry. And so So I'm not against that. It's just in God's timing. But I've been through, so I'm Bapticostal. So I still think people ought to get together. I'm Baptist at heart, so I think we ought to sing just as I am until somebody passes out or gets saved. Right? I still think that way. And so, but I've been through a lot of supernatural kind of transformation over the past 3 or 4 years that I was not really ready for. So for some of you guys who don't know that much about deliverance and inner healing, it is a work of the Lord, and I just want to give you a scripture for kind of what he's doing right now. So 1 Peter 2:9 says this, and so, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So out of darkness into his wonderful light. And so, yeah, that has a meaning for that time. It also has a meaning for this time, right here, right now. And so, is anybody old enough to see that the world's getting darker? Anybody seen that? Okay. And that's not happenstance, right? God's allowing certain things, and then God's also doing mighty miracles. And so I just want to kind of lay that scripture down. And that's, if you look at the world as a whole, the body of Christ, deliverance ministry is really, really happening. So it's not something that he's doing here at River of Life. It's something he's doing at my church. It's something he's doing in my personal ministry. It's something that he's doing, man, just listen to any, you know, I listened to Jensen Franklin. I love Jensen Franklin. You know, he's talking last weekend, and he's talking about spiritual warfare. And so the body of Christ is saved, right? But limping a little bit. And so it's the pain and trauma of the past, right? Okay. And so I kind of grew up, you know, hearing from people, well, all you need is Jesus. I believe that's true. I still do. So I got saved when I was 13. I was abused by a family member, sexually abused by a family member. And then that family member left. It was my mother. And it created a lot of problems, a lot of hurts. And so I went, if there's anybody here that hasn't received Jesus Christ as their Savior, okay? Like you may know what a candy bar tastes like, right? You can have, Daryl can describe what that is to you, but until you taste and see that it's good, okay? So this is how how I was taught about Jesus. So I had the pain of my mom, and really carried that pain around. I was a real different kind of kid. I had a lot of trauma and pain. I had a lot of really idiosyncrasies and quirks and everything, and my dad tried to raise me, tried all he could. But so I went to a Bible camp one time, and God had been working on me through a lot of different people. And so this pastor says, you know, some of you are carrying a 200-pound backpack full of rocks for the pain and hurt that's been done to you. I mean, this is like a Bible camp, like the whole thing was for me. And he says, here's the offer. The offer, if you'll come down, Jesus will meet you right down front, and he's going to give you the offer to take off the backpack of the rocks, and he'll pick it up and wear it the rest of your life. And it was just right, and I just thought, Lord, if that's true, I mean, I was 13, and I just thought, Lord, if that's true, I'm tired of carrying the rocks, Lord. And so that was the day I surrendered my life to Jesus. And so I became a different person, literally the person that you see today that's always up and never down and always happy. And it's just a gift from him. And so if you haven't entered into that relationship with Jesus, if you're carrying that backpack, man, it's time to talk to Daryl or somebody at this church who loves people. You're at the right place. You need to come forward and lay that backpack down. And Jesus will, and that's the thing about the cross. I never understood that. I mean, he's just as good today as he was when I was 13, right? Just better. And so Jesus loves people, man. So if you haven't made that decision, so that was the most important day of my life, other than my wife getting married and then my kids. And so the second most important day was the day I went through deliverance. And so that's kind of what I want to speak to the rest of the time. And so deliverance is really all about the Great Commission. So Christ comes, Matthew 16. At the end of the verse, he gives us the Great Commission. Basically, the Great Commission is save, heal, and deliver. Okay? And so that's what every ministry is a part. Sure, praise plays a big role in that. You guys do a lot more than just that. But the big headings for me are save, heal, and deliver. So I'm in the process of starting ministry. It'll be called Awaken Ministries. And just, I want everybody to kind of think through this scripture. So here was the dilemma that I had. Jesus came so that we'd have life and we'd have abundantly. Right? How many Christians here? Right? So salvation, right? Abundant life. But then Satan creeps in, or has crept in before that, and then people who are saved kind of just limp a little bit, okay? And so I just have the Holy Spirit speak to you, like at what level that you need to partake of the deliverance and inner healing ministry here, okay? Let the Holy Spirit speak, not us. And so God just kept telling me that I had more work that I needed to do. I thought, well, golly, Lord, I mean, where do you take that? It's like salvation check, praise check, tithe check, pray for my kids, pray prayers of blessings, love my wife. Oh my gosh, Lord, like what a, and so I just kind of began this introspective thing 5 or 6, 7 years ago. And I'd been a Christian, I'd been saved, but you know, man, I just had all this stuff. I was also straddling the fence and living in the world. I was an awesome Sunday morning Christian. Woo, break every chain. Then I'd go do certain things and lock the chains back on. And so the problem with the spiritual leader is that sin is problematic for families. Sin's problematic for Christians. It opens doors to demons, curses, soul ties, okay, unforgiveness, all right? And so God kind of led me through this whole process of dying to self. So I'm the leader of my family. You know, I have a beautiful wife and 3 kids that we've been married 29 years. But I just had problems. Gosh, I would read John 10:10. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but the Son of Man came that you'd have life and you'd have it abundantly. And I remember praying and thinking, Lord, I don't want to be blasphemous, but I don't feel the abundant. Like, man, hey, I'm happy to be saved. I know my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but man, the fruit, it's inconsistent with what your word says. And so I just had trouble thinking, well, if Jesus breaks every chain, why are Christians bound up? Right? And it's just sin. It's just curses. It's just pain. It's just trauma. But where do we take all that? And so I love the verse. My ministry is Awakened Ministries. If you try to search us online, you're not going to see a lot, because I'm still a contractor and our business is growing like crazy, and it's something that the Lord's calling me to step by step. But the scripture for our ministry is Ephesians 5:14, and it says, this is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and let Christ's light shine on you. And so that's kind of my ministry, is that Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. And so there's no new power. You just got to get some of that to cure what's the matter with you. It doesn't matter if it's save, heal, or deliver, right? And so the days are, oh yeah, and the verse continues. Be careful how you live. Not as unworthy, but as worthy. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And so, that verse has always meant something to me, and so God kind of had me through this whole process, right? And so I died to sexual abuse, the pain and the idol that had made in my life. I died 7 times, or 8. I died to pride and ego. I died to secrets and hidden sin, things that came clean about with my wife. I died to sex and putting pressure on my wife. I put her first. I died to materialism and the love of money and all types of idol worship. I died to being seen in the being seen crowd and parties and physical, worldly stuff. I died to who I thought I should be, envy, strife, and keeping up with the Joneses. It's called covetousness. I died to substance abuse of all type. Food, sugar, bourbon. I come from Kentucky, the land of bourbon. Men drink bourbon in Kentucky, right? Well, yeah, I did. So all idols, God asked me to lay all the idols down. And so each one of these things that I died to, okay, God was just calling me Psalm 24:4 says, how do we stand in the presence of a holy God? It's with clean hands and a pure heart. And so God just had me to walk it all the way out. Like, and it's just what he has for me. Now, here's the thing. As a man, let me speak to men. Your wife and kids will benefit. They'll benefit. The husband's living like how he should, and he gets clean and goes through deliverance, okay, and reconciles everything back to a holy God. Man, your family's going to be different. My family's a different family. When I was living through some of that sin, let me tell you what was happening in my home. My two sons were chanting. They had demonic manifestations, and they would lock themselves in their rooms and closets and rock back and forth. My youngest child was having nightmares and demonic screaming, and she was having migraines. And so we went to the UK Med Center, and she spent 7 days at UK Med Center with no medical reason whatsoever. And she got healed when the pastor, the head of the deacons, came and prayed at our church. She got radically healed in Jesus' name. So I just had to think, God says, your sin is affecting your family. My wife, my beautiful wife, was picking her body and skin. She was picking her skin. And she wasn't intentionally mutilating, but she was making sores on her body. And I was just out drinking with the boys, looking around, as a Christian, right? And so I just had to come, just real humble. Like you know, God, Jesus had saved me and changed my life, and then I'd opened the door to sin. And so God just led me on this journey to get it all the way out. You know, I did each one of these layers of work and died to self, and then God said, you've got more work you need to do. And I'm like, I don't know any pastor anywhere that's living as clean as I'm living, Lord. Like, I don't understand. And God's like, well, you have more work you need to do, more work. And then I saw a video online of my mentor, Bruce, and Pastor Bruce Jenkins. That's the method we use of deliverance and inner healing. And he's a really godly man. He's toward the end of his ministry now. He's 87. And so I saw a video online that I couldn't reconcile what I was seeing. And so I saw a video of Pastor Bruce. He was ministering to a young man that was in jail. This is not the greatest story. I mean, it's still happy. God's still at work. But the young man had committed a violent crime against a young lady. And he's in jail for life in Michigan. Bruce is from Michigan. And so the young man had gotten saved in jail. He had become literally leading people to Christ in jail. Now, your total redemption story. But he was having tons and tons of demonic dreams. Okay? Couldn't sleep. Demons were visiting his cell. All this craziness. Well, Bruce and the attorney for the young man, they kind of had pity on him, and they went to visit him in jail. And so this is the video that I saw. Now, Bruce doesn't have an internet ministry. He's not very technologically savvy. And so I saw him deliver this young man, and it was pretty wild. But how the result and the fruit and the freedom was the wild part. How Bruce did it was really crisscross applesauce. And that's kind of the way we adopt, which is we pray in the name of Jesus, the living God. And we speak directly to people and to the problems they have, and demons leave. And then we ask the Holy Spirit to come and heal people's hearts for the pain and the trauma. And so I saw that happen. And I just thought, I've never seen anything like that in the world. I mean, that guy had problems and demons, and now he's totally healed? Like, that guy's in jail living the life that we praise about. Break every chain. And I just thought, and I cried. And then I called, I tried to get a hold of Bruce and find him. And he doesn't have, you know, some big ministry. I tried to talk him into it. I'm like, Bruce, man, you got to take this ministry to the masses. He's like, Chris, maybe you need to take the ministry to the masses. I'm going to sit right here in Eagle, Michigan, and thousands of people have come to the door, and they're going to keep coming to the door. And that's our ministry. And God just heals and delivers and saves people right here. And I cried when he told me that, because he's just living. He's got the most amazing mantle I've ever seen. And so we drive there. God tells me to go. So I saw that video. I ordered Bruce's book. There's one video online of Bruce. Bruce wrote one book in 1980. It's still spiral bound. And I found one copy on Amazon, one copy at a bookstore in Arizona. I had it FedEx to me. I read the book. And so, you know, I'm kind of a good old boy, right? Bruce is a PhD Bible scholar. His wife has a Master of Divinity in I think clinical psychology or inner healing or something. They're just the most godly people I've ever met. And so so I get this book, and in chapter one, he outlines, you know, five arguments as a Baptist of why deliverance ministry is relevant for today. And I cried. I thought, what in the world? I mean, I read the Bible. I've never read that verse before. And it just hit me. You know, verses like Matthew 10:1. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave him the authority to drive out impure spirits and heal every sickness and disease. That's just right. It's not in Micah, right? Hidden under your bookmark. This is the epicenter of the gospel, right? Matthew 10:1. And so, I call Bruce. Bruce is a really unique guy. I finally get a hold of him, and he says, this is how he answers the phone. Jesus Christ loves you. And I just took me off guard. I said, well, hello. And, you know, but that's just the kind of guy Bruce is. Now, he's not touchy-feely, right, like me. He's real somber and real type A. But I said, "Well, I just was wondering if Pastor Bruce is around, if I could get a meeting with Pastor Bruce." He goes, "Well, yeah. Hold on a minute. I've been out in the garage doing something," and so he yells at Peggy, and they're having this conversation. You know, they're a little bit older, so they're having this conversation. And so Peggy gets the phone, makes an appointment. So we drive to Michigan. We're scared to death. I mean, I've seen stuff online and demons and people throwing themselves around the room and hitting people with Bibles and stuff. And so I have no reference for what's going to happen. So my wife goes, I drag my wife along because she knows I need something, right? And so I went as far as I could go at my church. And we had a really progressive freedom team. And they're like, you don't need to do anything, man. It's what you're doing right, not what you're doing wrong. Godly men who really meant well. And so, but I knew what God was telling me, so I went anyway. So we sat down, meet with Bruce. Crystal goes through the deliverance. I kind of see her. She's kind of doing these things. But nothing really happens that's supernatural, right? But she got totally delivered just the same, okay? And she's totally different from it. And so Bruce begins to pray. So I sat down, and I said I'm, you know, like a cat on a hot tin roof. And I say, I'm a little scared to be here. And Peggy says, honey, don't worry about having something. You just worry about keeping something. And when she said that, the Holy Spirit was like, this is where you need to be. Because there's just some stuff that wasn't right in my life. And so... So Bruce began to pray and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I had this tightening come over my body, and long story short, this doesn't happen every time. It happens not that often in our ministry, but the demons came and spoke through me, and I said a couple of choice words to Bruce. It wasn't me. I felt so bad. So Bruce, you know, Bruce is 84. You know, he walks like this, you know, but he gets going in his ministry, and the Holy Spirit takes over. And it's just so much exhortation, so much power. And so he spoke through me, and the demons were scared, and they left in Jesus' name. And, you know, one side of my family were really good Christians. The other side of my family was Satanism. Incest, rape, torture, child sacrifice, Freemasonry. The other side just had every problem that you go, as a deliverance ministry, you go, oh gosh, this could be tough. And so I just got radically free in Jesus' name. And so it was the work, and then I got inner healing from the abuse. And God supernaturally met me in that place and healed me. And so, I just became who you see today. And I just kind of walked around after that because I didn't want to sin anymore. Like, it took generations to get those things out of my bloodline. And then I went through deliverance again. Okay, there's layers, so it's not a destination, right? It's a journey. But I don't need deliverance every month right now. It's been a while, so God did the work, but I had a really sinful bloodline, and so and that's just what each of you need to ask yourself. You know, do you need deliverance? Are you having problems with your finances? I was having financial curses. I'd go make money and go, baby, woo, bring in $16,000 on payday. You know, I'd get home with $4,000. Like, what happened? You'd call me. I go, oh, that bill came in at the last minute. That's a financial curse. And so we broke those in Jesus' name. Or God kind of led me through that process. And so just layer by layer, I got more free and more free. And then God kind of called me to, I went on vacation one time and he told me that as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another, right? And so he called me the sharpening stone. And I said, in Jesus' name, I receive it. Like, Lord, whatever I'm about, I'll just proclaim the news that Jesus is real and Jesus today does miracles right now today. And so wherever you are, whatever demonic oppression you have, if you have a sense it is, pray about it. Get with Monique or Marguerite and Alex and Daryl and just pray through it. And let the Holy Spirit reveal to you what work you need to do. I promise you this. I promise you it's worth it. And the people that you love will be blessed. And so I see miracles all the time. All the time. And so if you open your heart to what God wants to do, I know that he'll work in that. And so he's a holy God and he loves his kids. And I'm telling you, Romans 8, 28 through 34 really talks about the Trinity at work. Okay? So Romans 8, 28 talks about the Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings we can't express. Go a little farther and it says that Jesus even sits at the right hand of the Father and he intercedes. So I heard a minister one time say that Jesus has already paid for it at the cross. Like whatever freedom you want, okay, you just need to come get it because he already paid for it at the cross. And so this minister said that Jesus sets, Romans 8, 34, that he sits at the right hand of the Father and he just looks over the edge of heaven. And if people get hand grenade close, he says, and he applies the blood and goes, great, you've done the work, you understand. You've appropriated my blood and my sacrifice. So receive the freedom. So I see curses broken. People healed. I was radically healed of six things. When the demons left me, I was radically healed of six things on the spot. Amen. And so Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has a plan. And that's kind of my message is that whatever you want to bring to the Lord, if you do enough work, I don't know what that is for you, but if you repent from enough sin and come into the right relationship with the Holy God, he'll set you free. He'll bring healing to the human heart. So I don't have anything else, you guys. But,
really appreciate it. So such a blessing. Really do appreciate you guys coming.